Many of us are familiar with this book, and I want to just encourage us all with something that the Apostle Paul is encouraging the church here at Philippi with. And so we're going to look at two familiar verses. He's writing to the church at Philippi, many of you are aware, from prison. This is one of the prison epistles. He's challenging the church to press on, to keep on keeping on. Now, the apostle had much ministry up to this point. He had seen God do some great things. He had a huge impact from his salvation to now, to the surrounding cities and beyond. He evangelized Arabia, Tarsus, Cilicia. He ministered in Antioch, Cyprus, cities of Galatia. He planted churches, we know, in Philippi, Berea, Thessalonica, Corinth. I mean, he's got a whole lot of ministry behind him. He has a whole lot. As a matter of fact, he's got a ministry, obviously, to Ephesus. If anybody had an excuse to slow down or to switch gears, it was the Apostle Paul. And yet, he is full of faith for the future. Obviously, he doesn't know what's going to happen, where he is. And he's trying to be, by authority, slowed down. But he's full of faith for the future. And he admonishes this church in two familiar verses, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word press is a word that means to pursue or to strive forward or to press forward. He's pressing toward. The word toward really has to do with pressing forward with a purpose, or we might even say a pointed pursuit. I press toward the mark, the goal, for the prize of the high calling of God, fulfilling the will of God. We know that he said in Acts, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I may do what? That I may finish the task which God has given me to do. It's interesting what he says in verse 15. He says in verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. His burden was what? That you be like-minded, and that you be a follower of Christ as I am. Did any of you ever run track? Do we have any track runners here? Do we have any long-distance runners? Any long-distance runners? A couple? I ran cross country one season, and that was enough for me. When you run cross country, it's usually more than, do we have any, we have a couple, 3, 4, 5 milers. We have some, any of you run a half a marathon? We got some half marathoners here. That's a lot of way to run. You know, even a 5 mile, or is it a 5K? We've got some 5Kers here. That's a long way to run. And sometimes, I want to show you a picture here. Bree drew this for us. And let's pull her down here a little bit. And there's our runner. There you are. And I had a color. Oh, here's the color version right here. Yellow. How's that? Nope, wrong guy. This way. There we go, right there. Kind of bled through the paper. So here you are as a runner. And I don't know, you know, maybe you all were better runners than I was, but I remember running. As I'm running, I'm thinking, why in the world am I doing this, you know? I'm too old now to run marathons, and so I don't. I like the elliptical machine. Any of you like elliptical machines? I mean, just for what it's worth, it's nothing to do with the message, but in any event, so here's our runner, and the Apostle Paul tells us as Christians that we're to press forward, that we're to keep the goal in mind. And as we think about this goal in mind, of course, he often would use pictures of athletics. He'd use pictures of running a race. Sometimes when we're in a race, sometimes we have thoughts that we shouldn't have. And hence you see these thoughts that this year fella is having, and I'm going to give you three thoughts. And we give you these three thoughts, one at a time, of course, but these are often the same thoughts that we have when we're pressing toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God. And so we're going to use the Apostle Peter as our example tonight, because Peter just happens to be somebody that illustrates all three. And so I thought I'd make it easy on us, and we'll stay with Peter. All right? So the first thought that you might have, and when you're running a race, and maybe you've had this thought in your Christian life. I know I've talked to many people, and many people have said to me, I just can't do this. And so they have the thought of quitting. All right? So we're going to put a big don't here. This one doesn't work too good. Don't. And we're going to switch markers here. I got plan A and plan B. And we're going to put, boy, you can't see plan B either, can you? Don't quit. Well, just believe me, okay? That's what it says. I promise it's what it says. All right. So Jesus, actually, first let's look at our text here. The word press is a verb, obviously. It is in the present tense. It is an active verb. It is a command. It has this idea. It has the idea of keep on going and not giving up. Now, when we look at the Word of God, especially for a new convert, when we look at the Word of God, sometimes we can get the impression that it's just difficult. When we look at what God asks us to do, we think about the responsibility we have to let our light shine. We think about the responsibility that we have to be a witness. We think about the responsibility that we are to have, let's just say, in the home. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Easy task, right? No problem. I got this, right? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor the father and mother. And sometimes as we look at the Word of God, sometimes we can find ourselves, we're talking about victory in our own Christian life. And sometimes we can find ourselves thinking, hey, this is just too hard. And we can find ourselves tempted to quit. In John chapter 21, you can take your Bibles and turn there. This is exactly where Peter is. Peter, in John chapter 21, decides that he's going to go back to fishing. Now we know, and I won't take the time there because I think we know this, in Matthew 26, actually prior to that, we looked at this Wednesday night, Jesus said to Peter, you're going to deny me. Oh, no, I'm not. I got this. I got this, you know. You ever feel that way in your own Christian life? You say, boy, I'm not going to worry today. I got this. I ain't going to worry. No, not me. I'm not worrying at all. And what happens? Sometimes we find ourselves worrying 30 minutes after we said we weren't going to worry. Peter, in John chapter 21, is really just, he's ready to quit. He's like, I can't do this. He denied Christ, went out and wept bitterly. And the Bible says in verse 21, by the way, we see, let's just read verse 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. He's got Simon Peter's there, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael's there. The sons of Zebedee, James and John are there, some disciples. And Peter saith to them in verse 3, I go a-fishing. And they say to him, hey, we're gone with you. By the way, Peter's decision to say, I'm gone back to fishing, affected other people. But I mean, we find him here in John 21. I can't do this. I mean, I just denied the Lord. I mean, I just like told people I didn't know him. I mean, this is like bad stuff. And sometimes in our lives, in the race of life, we're to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes because of what we see the standard or the bar to be, sometimes we find ourselves saying, I can't get there. I can't reach that. So I'm going to quit. It's interesting in our text, the Bible says, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Why is Christ Jesus mentioned? Because Christ Jesus is the key. As a matter of fact, as we look at John chapter 21, how does Jesus restore Peter? Well, you're familiar with the passage. There's fish on the fire there. And Jesus takes Peter, verse 15, right to the heart of the issue. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Verse 16, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? What does he deal with? He deals with Peter's love, but he deals with the key to Peter being what God wants him to be, and that is Jesus Christ. Do you know the Christian life is too hard to live without Christ? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. When we got saved, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, moved in. He moved inside of us to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, but he moved inside of us to live the Christian life through us. And the reason why we find ourselves, when we're supposed to be pressing toward the mark, the reason why sometimes we find ourselves saying, I tried. The reason why individuals that maybe you interact with find themselves saying to you, I just can't do this. I can't live this Christian life, is because they're trying to live the Christian life in the power of the flesh. And the flesh profits nothing. And it's important for us to recognize that Christ, yielding to Christ, is the key to living the Christian life. You with me so far? All right, I'm going to share with you a second area where we might find ourselves in our own Christian walk when it comes to the Christian life here. And secondly, I want us to see this. Number one, press on through Christ, don't quit. Number two, we need to press on through Christ, don't deviate, all right? And so that's our word here. This fella here is thinking, you know what he's thinking? He's thinking, can I take a shortcut? Can I take a detour? Now, we go back to our text in Philippians here, and we focused on the word press. I want you to see what the text says here. The text is saying what? He's pressing toward the mark. There's a goal in mind. That goal is the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We could say that goal is Christ-likeness. And have you ever been given a job to do, and you tried to talk the person out of the job they got you to do? You say, "What do you mean?" Well, somebody says to you, your wife says to you, "We need to paint the house. We need to paint the kitchen. The kitchen. Wives like kitchens painted, and your kitchen is nice and big and." And you see that, yeah, it's needed. But instead of painting the kitchen, you say, could we paint the pantry? You know, the pantry's real small, and you could paint the pantry in 30 minutes, and it's a lot easier. You see, sometimes what we seek to do, and I want you to turn to Matthew 16, and I'll show you Peter here. Sometimes we seek to do, because why? The standard, Christ-likeness, is up here. And sometimes what we find ourselves doing, we do it this way. Let me explain it to you this way. Well, let's look at Peter, and then I'll explain it to you, all right? So in Matthew 16, we see Peter again. And Jesus is telling Peter he's going to die. And find verse 21 of Matthew 16. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. Now, this was kind of difficult for Peter. Peter didn't like hearing this. Peter's like, whoa, this is a big high task. I don't like this. And Peter says in verse 21, he began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Verse 23. But he turned and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Peter did not like what he was hearing. Peter was okay for the Lord to do some things, but he wasn't okay for the Lord to hang on a cross, to die on a cross, and die in our place. He didn't want to see that. You know, sometimes as we think about the Christian life, sometimes we can find ourselves knowing, let's use this for an example. Maybe this will help you understand it. We know this morning, we looked at John 4, we are all supposed to be witnesses. We're all supposed to be telling people about Jesus, right? But you know, I've known, not here, in other places that I've been, I've known ladies with a number of children in their home. And by the way, I'm thankful, ladies, that at least I haven't heard it. I don't think it's true here. And at least I haven't heard it. And I praise the Lord for that. But you know, I've known ladies that have five or six kids at home. And here's their attitude. Well, I have to raise these kids. I can't be a witness till my kids are raised. So what are we doing? What we're doing is we're not focusing on the main thing. Raising kids is great, and we got to have godly kids, and I'm for raising kids. But I'm not for saying, hey, I'm not going to be a witness for 10 or 15 years until my children are raised. How about this? And again, I haven't heard this in here, and I'm so thankful for the godly ladies that we have here. But I've heard ladies say this, you know, this is my stage in life. I've got six or seven kids at home, and I don't have time to read my Bible right now. So we're going to go for 10 or 15 years, and we're not going to read our Bible because we're doing another good thing. Do you remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter number 10, I believe it is? He came to the home of Martha and Mary. And Martha's in there serving away. She's doing a good thing, isn't she? Yes, she's doing a good thing. I mean, Jesus, hey, there are dishes that needed to be done. I mean, who likes sinks full of dishes, right? But Jesus said this, Martha, Mary have chosen that good thing. What was the good thing? Spending time with Jesus. Spending time with Him. And you see, it is easy for us because the bar, as we look at it, the standard, if we would, is here. When we think about it, again, when we think about the answer, the key to our Christian life is not to focus on something too much on the side when we should be focusing on the main things. It's not to detour or to deviate because we say, well, I just can't do all the things that... You ever feel that way? You see, well, I'm a dad, and I'm a husband, and I'm a pastor, and I have other pastors that sometimes talk to me, and I've got all of these different things, and I just can't do them all. Do you know duties don't conflict? There is enough grace for us to do the will of God. But how does that happen? It happens through the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Again, Jesus is the key to our Christian life. Jesus is the one that lives in us, that enables us to be what we're supposed to be. He is the standard. And when we think about this, as we continue to focus on Jesus, it helps us to continue pressing on for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, because my focus is on Jesus. And I don't want to deviate from that task. I want to make sure that what I'm doing is exactly what He wants me to be doing amidst all of the challenges of life. Don't let the main thing be replaced by the minor thing. And it's easy for us when you're running a race to say, hey, can I take a detour? I want to show you one more thought that I find as I think about my Christian life that I find helpful. If I look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, He keeps me from quitting. If I look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, and allow Him to live the Christian life through me, He will keep me from deviating. Once you see number three, it's important for us to press on, but to not lower the standard, to lower the bar. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter number 18. We have a tendency to lower the requirements of the Lord Jesus rather than allow Him to meet those requirements through us. In Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 21, here's Peter again. Peter comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Now, the rabbis said, in this particular time, they said three times was good. So Peter's coming to Jesus and he's gone, hey, by the way, your last blank is don't lower, okay? Don't lower the standards. So don't say, well, I'm stopping at 3 miles, okay? All right. So Peter says to Jesus, Jesus, how many times should we forgive? And he's being generous. Seven times. Jesus says, I didn't say that. Where'd that come from? If you look at the text, Jesus says this, I say unto thee, until 70 times seven. So Jesus' standard when it comes to forgiveness is really unlimited. But let's say it's 490. A lot. Now think about this. Have you ever had someone to offend you? And you forgive them. And they do it again. And you forgive them. And they do it again. And you say, I'm done. I'm not forgiving them anymore. You ever have somebody hurt you so deeply that Matthew 18, this forgiveness passage, is really hard to follow? We say this, I know what the scripture says, but I am not going to do that. I kind of did my part. I kind of forgave him once. I was kind to him once. And what do? We cut this out of the Bible. We lower the standard. We say, you know what? Jesus is 490, but I've done five or six, and so I'm set. When we look at Matthew 5, go back to Matthew 5, we got a whole bunch of things that Jesus says that humanly are kind of impossible. Matthew chapter number 5, Jesus says this in Matthew 5, and let's look at verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, Matthew 5, 21, you heard, this is what people say, that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. What does Jesus do? He raises the standard. You heard, and it's kind of acceptable. By the way, sometimes in our own personal lives, we lower the standard based on what everyone else is doing. Right? Well, so-and-so watches this or goes here or wears this or does. We're not to do what we do because of what others do. The goal is Jesus. When we look at this passage of Scripture, you see, so I'm not supposed to get angry? Nope. That's pretty high, isn't it? And we say what? Well, we put it in a box, righteous indignation. What are we doing? We're doing what Peter did. We're lowering what God has asked us to do. You follow Matthew 21. Let me just read you a couple more. Matthew 5:27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. So you heard that they say don't commit adultery. But he says, but I say, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, after committed adultery with her already in his heart. Pretty high standard. Matthew 5, verse 33. Ye have heard that it hath been said of them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Sometimes even God's people will say, I. Right? You continue in this passage, it gets harder. Look at verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You see, the standard, what God calls us to, is pretty high. And we can find ourselves saying, I can't, we do find ourselves on a regular basis saying, I can't be there. But Christ that lives in us can be there. But whether I'm there or not there, I don't want to lower the standard. I don't want to say, hey, I'm going to lower this in my life. I'm going to excuse my lack. When the reality is, what we need is we need Jesus. We need Christ to live the Christian life through us. We don't need to quit. We don't need to say, hey, I can't live the Christian life. We can't, but we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. He's the answer, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what do I have to do? Rather than focus on me and my weaknesses, I need to focus on Jesus and depend upon Him to live the Christian life through me. So when I find myself in a place like Peter, failing, I confess my sin, I claim the victory I have through Jesus Christ, and I allow Him to bring victory in my life. When I find myself wanting the easy road instead of the hard road, I remember I've said this before. I remember hearing, I've tried to get him to come here, and someday I might be able to. I remember hearing Harold Vaughn preach a message, Willing but Not Obedient. I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting title. Do you know what? I was shocked when the altars were full of Christian people that knew what they were supposed to do, but didn't do it. When we look at Matthew 5, and we could look at other passages of Scripture, our tendency is to lower the standard. Forgiveness. I'm told you can preach on bitterness anywhere across the country in any independent fundamental Baptist church, and you will hit 50% of the people there. Christian people, maybe even more. You think about that. What are we doing? We're taking God's standard of 490, and we're doing like Peter. We're lowering it and saying, well, yeah, I've done my part. I don't have to. We need Christ. He's the answer. We're pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, hey, if there's other people that aren't minded, you need to be like-minded. This is what we need to do. We need to keep pressing forward. And if they're not like-minded, maybe God will show that to them. May God help us. Life is challenging. But we've got Christ who's the answer. You think about all that God has given us to enable us to live godly in Christ Jesus. Press on. Don't quit. Don't entertain thoughts of quitting. Press on. The way you're to be the wife you need to be, or the husband you need to be, or the children you need to be, is Jesus. Don't detour. Don't deviate. Don't say, hey, I'm going to try to take the easy road. No. Do you know one of the hardest things to do is to get right with people? One of the hardest things to do is to steal things and then go back and say, here, I stole this, and make restitution. But that's what God wants us to do. And don't lower what God has called us to. Depend on Him to enable you to do what He's called us to do. That we might hear of Him, well done, thou good and faithful servant.